Hi, this is Danny Walsh, and thank you for joining me today on Bloomfield In Focus. Today, we have a special guest from our Public Works Department. We have Adam Roos, who is our Public Works Manager, which is a deputy position, so he's one of our leadership over there. Adam, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So you've been at the township for a really long time. You've kind of worked your way up. Tell us about yourself. Where did you start?
So I've been at the township for 21 years. I started as a part-timer in the road division. I was there for, I'd say 17, 18 years before I became crew leader there, and then the opportunity for motor pool foreman opened up. So I got that, managed the fleet for a little while, and then now I'm a public works manager.
And those are not small jobs, whether it's taking care of roads, which although we don't own them, we are the only one in this state that is allowed to maintain and help with county roads. When you think about a fleet, you know, you're not just handling just the regular cars. You have the fleet includes everything for police, fire, our inspectors. I mean, think of all of that. About how many cars do you think there are if you were just, or not just cars, but vehicles?
There's about 308 vehicles and pieces of equipment, varying from fire trucks, plow trucks, police cars, everything in between.
Yeah, so that is no small feat of that fleet. No. A little cheesy, but
right.
So then you now have joined us as a deputy in your leadership position. So there's Noah as a director, and you and Paul Horan are the deputies. What kind of things have you noticed, and what have you done in that position? And I know it's early on, but is it everything you thought it would be?
Yeah, I mean, and more really. It's really cool because from my side of it, I deal with the internal services. So you get to really interact with everybody throughout the township because we deal with building maintenance. So any of the buildings throughout the campus, we're dealing with all the employees or any of the vehicles they drive. So we get to interact with everybody. And I think that is kind of special, and I appreciate that.
Right. Well, you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Thank you. And some of the things that fall under you, and that's what we're here today to talk about, are some services that we've brought back. Some were ended in 2019 during a budget crisis. Some ended a little sooner. So let's start first with clean sweep. Mm-hmm. That is something that we used to do around Earth Day, but kind of can you give an overall picture of what it was and what we can expect going forward?
Yeah, so I think I have to think of my way back machine here. 2007 is when we started it, I think, roughly. Don't hold me to that. But it's really cool event. It's really about community. It's an opportunity to get out and connect with your neighbors, clean up a little bit of what winter's hidden away, trash-wise, for litter and debris, and just kind of clean up your neighborhood. It's just a really cool experience.
And it's something, too, that you reach out to the HOAs, the homeowner associations. So if somebody has a really active one, like the village has extremely active.
Yes.
We have about 200 homeowner associations, but I don't believe all are fully active. So if you are a part of one that doesn't have an HOA or isn't involved, how would they get involved?
So that is something that we kind of, before we were talking about this, we've just realized that if you don't have an organized HOA, we don't really, it's difficult to have a means to connect with you because we reach out to all the different HOAs. So hopefully people are active on the website and keeping tabs on what we have going on there. That's a really good way. But then, once they do, we'd love them to come in, get their supplies.
And if somebody is not part of an HOA, for example, across the street, that area doesn't have as much of a strong HOA as we do. So could they, as a group, still volunteer? So it doesn't.
Whether it's
have
one individual
be.
Or okay. three people, however they want to do it, okay. we definitely encourage any which way.
And I was looking into this because my husband and I are the type that walk around with little Kroger bags and fill them up with litter along the way. I kept thinking, how could there be that much trash in some of these areas? Because if it's your front yard, you typically clean it up. So if you do have areas like we do where our yards are in the front are already clean, we could help possibly along the right-of-ways of Telegraph or Square Lake where there's absolutely more trash that needs to be picked up. So even if your HOA is so active that it's already clean, you can go ahead and still help on the major roads, on the state roads probably as well.
Yeah, I would say as long as people stay off the medians because for safety. But along the road edges for sure. And there's no shortage of litter.
Correct.
There,
those bigger roads really get it. And I asked him for some numbers. So I'm going to cheat a little because I couldn't remember all of these. when you hear about how much has been picked up, so there are some years where compost was 10,000 pounds, trash was 19,000 pounds, and then this other year there was up to 50,000 pounds. I think the least, the smallest year was 2019 with only 2,000 pounds of trash, ranging all the way up to 20,000 pounds. And that was with the volunteers that we used to have. If we could get even more, that was with 21 groups given out. So with just, that's how much one group can make an
pretty
impact.
Staggering.
When you figure 20,000, that's 1,000 pounds of trash for each one of those groups. So if we could encourage, if how could we help encourage people to get out there? Is it they just kind of sign up with you? What do they get? What's in their kit?
Yeah, so right now, as we're bringing it back, they can sign up. They get compost bags and trash bags. Maybe as years go on, it could get back to what it used to be. They used to get, I think, like a goodie bag and T-shirts, things like that. Right. We're not back to that point yet, but we could definitely grow back to that.
Well, and in your defense, this was something that we sort of, so we go through the budgeting process starting in August. This was something that I said, we have one more thing that hasn't come back. And I believe it was February or January when I said, if we could get this one thing back, we're all set again. So you all threw it together very quickly for me to get it back. But you're right, we do want to grow it. And then I think we had T-shirts too, which helped people stand out on the road of getting that attention to help promote it. So for this year, it's about cleaning up. For next year, it's cleaning up and getting the word out even more.
Right.
So that is something that will keep growing. For sure. And then there's also, in addition to Clean Sweep, we did bring back the e-waste days, or the we used to have three. We went down to zero for a little while there. And then we've been bringing back one each year. So we do have the two already, and then we have a third one that will be coming back in 25. But let's talk about the Saturday, May 4th e-waste day. That's from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Correct.
What should people expect? What can they bring?
So
to bring something
the
to...
e-waste, anything from TVs, computers, things like that, you can bring those in. It's a paper shredding event also, as well as discarded medical supplies, pharmaceuticals. Okay. We have a pharmacist on hand that sorts the controlled and non-controlled, and then we get those safely disposed of.
And then I've had the question of, with the shredding, is it safe? Is it confidential? Is everything that they throw in there confidential? Is that something that you can
Yeah, it's 100% safe. The contractor that we use is bound by their code to take care of things properly, to shred it, have it completely discreet. Nobody, obviously, would have to worry about any kind of concerns with that.
Right. And that's always good to know, because we want to encourage people to get that paper out. And then also with medical, although you could come any day of or any working day to the police station and drop things off, it is nice to know you can do everything all at once. So with that, you could bring in any prescription. We don't want people flushing those down the toilet at all. Some people have said, well, it's just safe. It's safer that way. But that goes into the water supplies and into
Absolutely.
Our oceans and everything. So we don't want to do that. And then with the e-waste, when we talk about computers and such, you'll even take large those old the TVs, they're not flat screens. I can't even think about
like
the old
big box
the old bulb TVs. Yeah, the
yeah,
big
they weigh
box
300
TVs.
Pounds.
Right.
Yeah.
I've seen when I was there the last time, I saw somebody pull one out that it was a 1980s style retro bulb TV, and they'll take all of it, right?
Yeah. There's no... Yeah, we've seen those from the 70s, the wood frame.
Right.
It's more like a cabinet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is there a limit, or is it just anything that fits in their car you'll
anything
take?
They can fit.
Okay. Are they allowed to bring like a hitch behind them, or is it just the car?
Well, we don't want people
How
showing up at a U-Haul.
How far are we going to be going here?
Right. But no, I mean, it's definitely meant for the residents to be able to clear out their home, do a little spring cleaning.
Right. And they have to make sure to bring their ID, which they should have since they're driving. If the driver is not the township resident and the other person is, just somebody has to prove township residency.
Right, because it is a benefit for the residents.
Yes.
So we don't want people from other communities flooding in
yes.
and taking advantage.
And although we didn't have that a lot, we did have a few that were upset that they couldn't come, and we pointed out this is a taxpayer event. This is something
right.
that we do. So how long are the line? I know the first year we brought it back, there was a line before it even started, almost an hour
yeah.
ahead of time, and it was,
yeah, people
it was
were ready
so
for
needed
it.
That they were ready for it. But now I've heard the way that the lines go a lot smoother and mm-hmm. faster. About how long should somebody expect so that maybe they could bring a book or something in their car?
The lines do move pretty quickly. I mean, you could be in line for 15 minutes.
Those are, oh, that is amazing.
But that's also, it's wrapping down Long Lake, down Telegraph.
Right.
But
right.
it moves very quickly. We usually get a little over 1,000 right. people that show up.
Okay. That first year when we came back, I mean, after 2 years of not having it, 2 or 3 years, it was a 1 hour wait. And it was our largest event ever. Mm-hmm. And it set records. So it's, you guys have already knocked it down to 15 minutes. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's our target.
That's great. And then that one in May is the e-waste, shredding, and medical. Mm-hmm. And then just to highlight that, we do have the one in October.
I think it's either October or November, the household hazardous waste.
Yes, and that one. So people should not bring the household hazardous waste right. to this. If you do, it will not be taken. That's a different vendor. So don't bring the paint. Don't bring the Roundup. This is strictly just e-waste, prescriptions, medical, and
paper. Correct.
And then another thing that we brought back is the road funding. So you've always taken care of the roads and done what we could with the funding we had. But again, with the budget crisis in 2019, your department did get hit because we don't own those roads. So when you're thinking of a budget crisis, paying for somebody else's infrastructure versus what we had to fix,
correct.
That was a big reason why that got cut. We've been adding a little bit each year, and now this year, we're not only back to what you guys did have before, but we added ARPA money, the American Rescue Plan Act money, to add even more. So people often say, how do you even pick? What do? How do we get on a list or anything? So let's talk about the road funding and mm-hmm. clue us in on all that.
So as far as identifying the target areas that we want to hit, really the biggest thing is just the crews that we have out every single day, because
right.
they're driving the roads, traversing them every single day. They cover a lot of ground. They give feedback to the crew leaders and the foreman. Then they kind of have their system, which they dial in, and then by spring they're ready and they have their list compiled. And like as we stand right now, April 1st, they have all the areas that they want to hit that they know, and it's all dialed in and ready to go.
And then if an emergency comes up, we'll work that in.
Right.
But I know some people get frustrated if they aren't on this year's list. But there's such a long list of needs. Some of our roads, I mean, some are from the 50s and 60s that are now being, those are at an SAD, Special Assessment District status. So you're not going in and fixing, ripping out roads.
Correct.
That's something that we want to make sure people know is we're more of the maintenance and the helping extend until somebody gets to that point
right.
of doing an SAD. So this isn't going to fix, you know, like the roads in the village where those need to be ripped up and fully done. Those are some of our oldest roads. But this is used for, can you explain what an overlay is?
Yeah, so what we do is maintenance and preservation. So we do an overlay, which would be, we spray down a tack to make it sticky and it waterproofs it. And then we go over with about a 1.5 to 2 inch layer of asphalt, and it's in small spots. So we can't, with Act 51, we can't do an entire road.
Right.
But we can do a portion of a road.
Right.
So then that portion will appear as a brand new road, because I mean, essentially it is.
As long as the structure underneath is sound.
Right.
Putting
and
that
that's why we don't go into roads that are just beyond repair, because then we're just putting good money after bad, and
right.
it's a waste. We actually, this year we're doing a new technique, which is a micro seal. So it's a very thin layer, but we tried one sample size and we had amazing results.
Oh, great.
So we're really excited because you can cover a tremendous area for a very small amount of money.
Okay.
So, and Cape Seal is very similar. So we're implementing both of those this year. And we're hoping to cover a lot of ground with it and get really good results.
And then with Cape Seal, is that also the item that you use when somebody does invest in their roads and they put in a brand new road? We do help maintain that going forward, since as residents, it's very expensive to get an SAD, that if somebody's willing to do that, we tend to help maintain that ongoing. Is it Cape Seal that you use, or is it something else when you go in and kind of help with the joints and cracks?
Yeah, so we'll joint seal it pretty much on, we have a regulatory system once you get a brand new road, because we are grateful that the residents spend their money to repair or completely replace the road. So we do what we can to add as much longevity to it as possible.
And as a resident, I can tell you it was really hard to learn that townships don't own the roads, because that is the first thing that people say is, I need the township to fix the road. And it is a county asset, mm-hmm. and the county gets their money from the state and the federal government, but they don't get enough money to handle all of, there's, I believe, 62 or 63 cities, villages, and townships in the county, so they focus on those main roads. Right. And that's even for the plowing. They focus on the main roads. That's why when you might see a main road not cleared, but our neighborhoods are cleared, unlike a neighbor, West Bloomfield, where they have to wait to get to those roads 3, 4, 5 days later. So when you think about that as a resident, it's really hard to take that in, that we haven't been paying a road tax. We have that small road millage just for our, what we do. But for example, like a Birmingham, they pay 18 mills for operating. We pay 10. Mm-hmm. 8 of those extra mills go towards infrastructure such as stormwater, which we don't maintain unless it's our own, and with the roads. So that's probably something that you guys get a lot in conversations. Or the other conversation I have a lot is people are frustrated. They say, well, you just keep fixing the pothole. Stop fixing the pothole and rip up the road. Is that conversations that you also have a lot with residents, and how do you talk to them?
Yeah, we definitely get that a lot. And really, it's just the way the funding is structured and the legislature, we're restricted from doing it. Even if we wanted to, we can't rip up an entire road.
Right.
We can do what we can to maintain it. And unfortunately, you know, filling potholes is a big part of that.
Right.
Until we can do things like cape seal it or micro seal it or do an overband overlay, things like that.
And we had touched on it. Bloomfield Township is the only township in the state with a actual legal by the state law funding department. And that is because we did have to go to the legislature and have them change the rules so we could even do what we do now, which still isn't the same as a county and what they can do. But that is something special that we as residents here all agreed we're willing to pay a millage to get this. And thank goodness the administrations were able to work on that. So when somebody says that, I know we go into this SAD discussions. So at what point does somebody say, okay, stop filling the potholes? Is there a conversation that you all have where they then know to reach out to our assessing department to talk about an SAD? Or is it, how do they find out? If we've gotten to the point on the road funding, it's too far, your road is past that, what's their next step?
Yeah, the next step is if it's beyond repair. And our road foreman and his crew leaders, they keep a very close eye on it. And they kind of have a grading system for what neighborhoods are condition-wise. And if it gets to that point, then our staff tries to encourage them to, okay, maybe we should reach out to the assessing office, reach out to the county, start that SAD process and get it rolling. Because really that is the only real permanent solution for them.
And we have about how many roads? Is it about 200 miles of neighborhood?
We have, I think, 218 miles of paved, whether it's concrete or asphalt, and another 32 miles of gravel.
Okay, and that's just neighborhood roads. That's
just
what we maintain.
Yeah.
So when people say, well, why am I not on this year's list? It's taken too long. It's because of we have this funding. Do you know about how far this will spread? I know Director Noah used to say it only covers maybe a couple miles of the entire township. Will this new technology make it go further, and about how far do you think?
Yeah, usually 1 mile would be conservatively what we'd be able to cover with what we have in the budget. This year, I don't have exact numbers, but it's going to be probably triple that or quadruple that, not only because obviously there's more funding, so that helps, but these new techniques, the micro seal and the cape seal, they're going to go 5 times as far as just an asphalt overlay would go.
And then with the potholes, is there's a summer and there's a cold patch and then there's the warm. That's another one that we get questions of, well, when will you put in the real pothole? Because I've heard that, and they want people to come out early, but if the frost is still there, you use a, is it called cold patch or what is that?
Yeah, so it's cold patch, and basically it has a sticky emulsion that binds together stones. And that's all that's available because we can order that any time of year.
Right.
Whereas what we prefer to use is actual asphalt to put in the potholes because it stays better. It's just a smoother surface. It doesn't come up on the vehicles. It's a better product, but they don't make it between roughly November and April.
So when somebody reaches out and says, hey, you're not out here, it's 70 degrees out. That's we're getting early and earlier springs, so maybe they'll change these rules. But right. We did have quite a few days of 70s, and we started getting calls. Why aren't you out here today? Why aren't you out? And it is because even if you wanted to go out, you cannot get the material that's needed.
Right.
Okay. So it's usually by the end of April or the beginning of April that
depending on the weather. Yeah. If you have an early spring, then they'll open up. Obviously, okay. They want to get rolling as quickly as possible too. Right. So.
Right. Well, I appreciate everything you guys do. Is there anything about DPW that you want to highlight? We can talk about all the different things that you guys do with this. When somebody calls in, if they want to reach you on Clean Sweep, they have to pick up. We prefer they register. So register how? Do they call in? Do they do the
email? They can register on the website. They can call us. There's an email connected on the website that they can connect through. And we've had already quite a few neighborhood associations
sending in. I saw some already.
So it's pretty exciting. Yeah. Looks like people are excited about it, and it's definitely coming back in force. So that's good to see. And really, too, we're really grateful for, on a different subject, everybody's cooperation and willingness to work with us on the meter program.
Yes.
We've had really good cooperative residents, really good results with that. Right. So that's now it's starting to really ramp up, and we're getting a lot of progress with that.
And that is, again, when you're talking about Earth Day and conservation, being able to help with having it, there's an app attached to it. So somebody knows right away if there is a leak, something that not only helps their pocketbook of not paying for water that they're not actually using, but it also saves on all the wasted water. So that is something that as soon as they sign up, as soon as they get their new water meter, are they able to sign up right away and start using it that day?
Yeah, then they'll be able to go, they'll get the app and they can track their water lifetime, which is really cool.
And this is a different app. We have a lot of apps coming at the residents lately. We have our Bloomfield Alerts app, which is public safety focus. We have our township app that's coming out, which we'll be keeping updated. And this is water. So they're all very specific. But I have heard rumors that this one is so accurate, these meters in this app, that it can even tell as the temperatures change how your water expands and contracts. So it is pretty amazing technology.
Yeah, state of the art for sure.
Right. And so people will be on the pulse because I know our now treasurer, used to be trustee when it happened, he had a leak that happened just shortly after the bills came out. So you don't know again until 3 months later that there's a leak. So he had thousands of dollars that he had to pay for this water he never used, but has to pay for because it's gone. So this will also help us get to that monthly billing cycle that we all want, where you actually know about it sooner, you're paying for your usage and all of that. So it will get to not only saving on their bill, but saving water conservation as well.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that even if you're on vacation, if you're in Europe, and you're tracking it and you see, whoa, there's a problem here, you can call us and we can come out, figure out what it is, shut off the water while you're gone, and then identify.
Oh, that's
that
a wonderful
fixed.
Service.
So it's not just going to keep going, keep rolling when you're out of town.
Okay. And is that something that even if it happens on a weekend, would they call the police then instead, or would they call?
Yeah, they would call anything on the weekend, whether it's for roads or water. Residents can go through police dispatch, and then they will contact our staff, and then they'll come out and address whatever the issue is.
That's great. That's a service I didn't even know we had.
Yeah, so 24-hour services.
Wow. I knew you would respond when people came in. I didn't know that if they're out of town and they reached out on a water that you would go in and shut off the water. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I really appreciate all your time today. This is great. We're not only bringing back what we had, but making it even better. Like you said, new technologies are astounding and helping us make those resources go farther. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
I'm sure you'll be back again because we have a lot of programs that you guys are involved with.
Definitely.
So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thank you, everybody. Please tune in to our next Bloomfield in Focus.